Friends, I'm turning this evening to the epistle of the epistle to the Ephesians chapter 6 and to verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And our emphasis is on the 17a. And take the helmet of salvation. And as we continue our study of the spiritual warfare, the war between these believers and the enemy of our soul. And here, our Lord, through Apostle Paul, tells us that we should take the helmet of salvation. Now, just a short recap over some past weeks now, what we have been learning. And remember, I've said that the book of Ephesians is about the church. The whole of the Ephesians is about the church. How to build the church and how to let the church grow. And as I said, from 1 to 3 tells us about what God has given us in Christ to build this church. All the resources that we need, like the capital we need to build the church. And then from 4 to 6 is about how to work, how to use those things, how to work as Christians to have our church built. First, you remember we talked about how to work in unity, how to work in the light, how to work in love, and all of them is all towards building the church. So, in working, now we come to the warfare. Warfare, because as we have already said, life as for the Christian is a life of battle. We battle with the enemy of our soul because he has lost us and he wants it back. So this battle will continue until the end of this age. Remember the last time we read from Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, to prove, to confirm that there is a battle, an ongoing battle. He said, and the great dragon, referring to the devil, was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Verse 12, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he has but a short time. This is the proof that the devil is with us. And because he knows he has a short time, he is very angry and he's seeking to devour us. And as we have learned already, to build the church, it is the same, the God who said that he will build his church and the gate of hell shall never prevail against the church. So even though this battle is there, it's a battle that has been won already by Christ. We only have to follow the steps, and the battle is won. Like I always say, don't believe in people who teach about so many ways of fighting the devil. This is the only prescribed way of fighting the devil, and it is the only through this way that you can fight him. Any other way, he will just look at you and laugh because he knows that you can't fight him through the how many steps people are showing them. Take these steps, do this and do that, and you can never win with Satan except you go by what the Creator, God himself, who knows who the devil is and who knows where his limit is. He is the only one that can show you the way to fight that battle. I know in our part of the world, people talk about demons here, demon possessions here, witchcraft and all these things, and people believe, fine, we know the devil is there. But talk about demons or witchcraft or whatever, their head is Satan. And once you get rid of Satan, what can they do again? There's a saying that if you cut the head of a snake, the rest is just a rope. If you cut the head of a snake, all the rest that you are seeing is just a mere rope. And that's what it is. If you are able to conquer Satan, you conquer all those under him, the demons and the witchcraft and everything. And the only way to conquer Satan is through Jesus Christ. For he is the strongest man. Satan is a stronger man. Christ is the strongest. He is the one through whom we can fight the battle. And this is what he's telling us, the way to fight the battle. So now Apostle Paul tells us how to fight the battle, and he lists six pieces of spiritual armor. Armor, as we know, are like accoutrements, like what the soldiers use in their battle. So that is the armor, the arsenal. So now he has shown us to put all those things on to go to the battle. And the picture is with like the Roman soldiers, when how they dress to go to war. He said the belt of truth, they have a belt, a very strong belt that keeps them. And the breastplate of righteousness, the sandals or the preparation of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, and now the helmet of salvation, and then the sword, which we'll deal with later on. So we have dealt with all this, and now today we are going to talk about the helmet of salvation. As we read in Psalm 140, David says, "Oh God," in verse 7, "Oh God, the Lord, oh God, the Lord, the strength of my salvation, thou hast covered my head in the day of battle." And this was said by the man of God's own heart, King David. And he said this when so many enemies had gathered to attack him. But then he said that he had the Lord. God heard him when he prayed, and he covered his head with a helmet so that the enemies could not attack him. So in our spiritual battle in our day, we also need the same protection from God. Our head needs to be properly protected. Our head, that is where everything is, and it needs to be protected against the attacks of the enemy of our soul. We know our motorcyclists by law are to put on a helmet of protection against fall, because we know what it is to fall from a motorbike, and if your head you hit a stone or something, we know the effects. So they are obliged. It's a law. When they are seen without a helmet, they are arrested. So that tells you the importance of helmet to the injury, for the injury to the head. In the same way, we also as believers need this protection as we travel through this life. It's the helmet of salvation, which is Paul is talking about today. So what is this helmet of salvation? What at all is it? What does it mean? Now, this helmet is intended to protect our head, as I've already said. And it is also composed of a living hope. A living hope. And then it also provides endurance unto the end. We need a living hope and to be able to endure up to the end, after when Christ comes and we go into our glory. In the other lessons, we learn about the enemy who directs fiery darts. We learn that the fiery darts are, you know, darts are thrown like arrows are thrown to the opponent. In the battle, they throw all these darts to bring confusion to the camp of the enemy. That's what they do. And then they are able to rush to attack them. That is what they do. They throw the darts to their enemy, and then there's confusion in their camp, and then they attack. So when you are confused, it's easy for you to be attacked. So the soldiers, knowing all these things, also provide the armor that we have already described to protect them. The shield, the belt, the shoes, which protect them from up to here, so that the arrows cannot get to them. Now, because the believer has done this, and the enemy cannot get to those places, now, where he wants to get now, is the head. He can't get to the heart because he's protected there. He can't get to the feet. He can't get to the loins. He can't get anywhere. So now, the next thing that he can get is the head, because he does that. And the reason is that the head of a man is the seat of his thinking. It is from there that you can think. It is from there that you can analyze. and understand the word of God. Without the head, you can't think, you can't analyze. So when the head is hit, your thinking is disrupted, and therefore you become an easy prey to the devil. Just as the arrows confuse the enemy camp and is able to attack, in the same way, when he hits you in the head, your thinking is disrupted. You can't even understand the word of God, and then you become an easy prey for the enemy. You know, our head is where our eyes are, and then our mouth, they are all found in the head. So when we were unconverted, we can see, even though our eyes are there, so we can see, but we cannot perceive because you are not converted. Your spiritual eye is closed, so we can never perceive. Our ears are blocked, and our mouth does not praise God. We have them there, but until we are converted, like I always say, we are in this world to praise God. And you can't praise God when you are not converted. You must be able to convert it, then you stand the opportunity to praise God. But when, as soon as you are converted, then your eyes are enlightened so that we see God in His holiness, and then we see our depravity. And then we see Jesus in His beauty. We understand what Christ has done for us. Then we can hear the sweet melody of the gospel. Otherwise, the gospel will be nonsense to you. When your heart, your head is disrupted, your thinking is disrupted, the gospel will be nothing to you. Then our mouth is open to cry to God for mercy. All these things can only be done when you are converted. Otherwise, before them, you have them, but they are not functioning. And because Satan cannot stop this, he will still work hard to win us back, because he can't stop all these things. So all that he wants to do is to win us back, so that we will no more be under the protection of our God. So this is why we need the helmet of salvation. Let's look at other areas where this same thing is talked about in the Old Testament. In Isaiah chapter 59, verse 16, he said, "And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercession. Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him." Then when you go to verse 17, he said, "For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and the helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on the garment of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak." And when you go to verse 18, it says, "According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies, for the islands he will repay recompense." And when you go to verse 19, he says, "So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him." So you see that this thing is not only said in the New Testament, even in the Old Testament, the helmet of salvation is what protected people, what God promised to protect his own people. Then when we come to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8, Apostle Paul wrote, "Say, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation." That is in the New Testament. When he says we who are of the day, he's talking about believers. We who have our eyes open, who are enlightened to know the truth. So the point is, when we talk about helmets, we are obviously talking about protection. Protecting our mind, protecting our thinking, protecting how we see things, how we hear things, and how we use our mouth. That is the protection it's talking about. And as we mentioned, one of the other places that the Satan is continually attacking in this spiritual warfare is our mind. It's our mind. He attacks our mind. And that is why many, many people cannot understand the scriptures, and they are being deceived. Otherwise, sometimes when you listen to what the so-called prophets and apostles are saying, and you see people who are intelligent, supposed to be intelligent in society, are following them. It is amazing. You just can't imagine why it is happening. You see blatant lies and people are following them. Their minds are being dulled. They can't understand. They can't reason to know that they are being deceived. So one of the areas where his war, the attack is our minds. How does he do it? He seeks to plant evil thoughts. He plants evil thoughts in your mind because it is not protected. He has the opportunity to enter there and plant evil thoughts. How does he do it physically in our land here? You know how we are exposed to every kind of advertisement, even on our radio and TV. And they are all, if you look at them, they are all designed to attract our attention. You see almost naked women, especially in adverts concerning alcohol and all these beauty pages and all the things that, you see, you are filling your mind with evil thoughts. And you have no control. As soon as you turn on your television, even to listen to news, you see them there. They are all designed to take our minds away, to disrupt our minds and our attention. The billboards that we see is surprising. I saw one billboard the other day at Achimota School, and I was saying the same kind of picture was once pasted in somewhere in England, and the people were taken on for posting that picture. Here it was just there, everybody was talking about it, and it is disgusting. And it was on a big billboard for in a place like Achimota School, where the children are. So you see how we are exposed to, and this is the work of Satan. He has designed all these things to disrupt our minds. And it's amazing how much filth that you come across as you look at this on our television. And people these days don't even have the chance of survival, because obviously you tune into your television to listen to news or some program that educates, and that is where they bring all these things. So that is another way that the devil uses to plant evil thoughts in our minds. So unless your mind is protected against this onslaught of the enemy of our thoughts, you will fall for him. When the mind is protected, then those things cannot sink in. They come and go. They come and go. So we need that helmet of salvation to protect our head, protect our mind. Apostle Paul warned about these things in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. He said, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If we sow to the flesh, we of the flesh shall reap corruption. But if we sow to the Spirit, then we of the Spirit shall reap life everlasting." So whatever you feed your mind with, if you feel it, you feed your mind with those things, you will reap corruption. If you feel you feed your mind with godly things, then you have life everlasting. That is why this Galatians 6 verse 7 is saying. But look at how many people sow to the flesh today. Paul is talking about the corrupt condition of society that holds the truth of God. You see, people know about the truth of God. We were discussing the other day whether those people who call themselves apostles and prophets, and do they really know that what they are doing is harmful, or they are also ignorant? They know. They know the truth. But for their own whatever want they want to gain, personal gain, money, fame, so they will turn the word of God upside down and then teach other lies. If you go to Romans chapter 1 verse 21, he lists all these things. How they know the things of God, but they have turned them upside down. And it is all orchestrated by the devil. Satan is the one who is behind all those things. He's behind all false teachings. He's behind all false miracles. He is the one behind all these things. And he does that to take our minds away. And then, because the Bible warns that if you do that, he will give you up to uncleanness. It's in Romans chapter 1 verse 21. If you read down there, God warns us that if you keep your mind on these things, you get worse. You will be practicing vile things such as fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, and all those things. And it's all because your head or your mind is not protected. The Bible even goes to say that they are full of murder, then the debate, deceit, magnanimity, all kind of the backbiters, haters of God. He lists all these things. And then he warns that because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. Yes, that is what the devil is exposing us to. The things that he knows bring the wrath of God. We are forced to be exposed unto those things unless your mind is protected. He said, though they knew such things, that they bring the judgment of God, they not only do them, but they took pleasure in those that do them. You see how people are praising those beauty pageants and all the rest on television. It is amazing. You see people, intelligent people, people in society that we respect, you see them being judges of all these things. You see, so if you don't have a mind protected, you'll be swayed away by the enemy of our souls. It is a very dangerous thing to take pleasure in movies, especially those that portray adultery and fornication. And those are the things that we are seeing on our television now. Any movie that you attempt to watch, it has these things in them. And if you are not protected, it will take you away. And even all these Sakawa, our boys who are engaging in all those things, they feed them from these movies. See people because they can do this. People are murdering for money. It is all from this. Their minds are dull and the devil has taken advantage of. If their minds were protected, Satan can never do that. So if we leave our minds unprotected, then Satan will fill them with all kinds of faith that will defy you. And it is when you are defiled that he had the opportunity to destroy your mind. I remember I read something in Numbers somewhere when the Israelites they were going to war, and the other opponents consulted some of their so-called prophets about how they would win their battle with the Israelites. And he told them that unless you can use your women, you know, you can entice them with your women, knowing that when the woman gets them, then they are defiled, then they will become weak. Because he knows that if they are not defiled, their God is strongly behind them, and therefore you can't fight them. So to be able to fight them, get them defiled by sending your women to them to entice them. So Satan has so many ways of attacking our minds to get us defiled, and then we'll never be strong against his attacks. Satan also attacks our minds with discouragement. When your mind is not protected, when you are off guard, he will try to discourage you. Sometimes he will make you feel that there's no use in trying to go on in serving the Lord. Sometimes you become discouraged that the Christian life is too difficult. Sometimes you see how we run our churches. You come to church in the morning, then you go home, within 2 hours, you come back for Sunday school. After Sunday school, the evening service, before you go home. If you are not protected, you might think that this is too much. Why am I worrying myself? But if your mind is protected, you will know that the Lord has said that, remember the Lord's day and keep it holy. And that is the only way to keep God's day holy. Otherwise, there will be some attraction somewhere that will take your mind away. And remember, it is the same God who gives you that strength to be able to do that. If your mind is not protected, the devil will try to discourage you that it is too much. The Christian life is too difficult. Sometimes it makes you feel that it is of no use. You want to give up. And the truth is that the moment you start doing that, you often get into trouble. And there are a few examples of how he uses discouragement against men of God in the scriptures. And one thing we should note is that those who are already in his camp, those so-called apostles and prophets, the liars, they are already in his camp. So he leads them. Those who are not for God. Obviously, if you are not for God, you are for Satan. So he leads them. He doesn't hazard them like he does to us, because he has them in his pocket already. So if you are not careful, you may compare yourself to them, that you have been doing this for so many years, and yet you don't have this, you don't have that. But look at them, those who don't even serve God. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 12 says, yes, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. This is a promise. But we don't like to claim that promise. If you say this to any charismatic member, he will never claim it. We don't want that. We want all the one that is blessings upon blessings. But this is what the God himself was saying. He said, all those that will live godly life in Christ shall suffer persecution. Now mind you, he has also said in John 3 verse 36 that in this world you will have tribulation, but take courage, for I've conquered the world. You see, he gives you the bad side and then the good side, as I said in the morning. But then Satan will let you think of only the bad side. That if you live a godly life, you go through problems, you have persecutions. So this is one of the areas that the devil attacks our mind. And if your mind is not protected, he can easily get you. So what is this helmet of salvation that protects our minds and our hearts? This is what Paul calls the helmet of salvation. In Hebrew, it is called the helmet of the hope of salvation. The helmet of the hope of salvation. So how does salvation help us in protecting our head from this attack of the devil? And we know that salvation is in three parts, salvation. First, you have been saved from the penalty of sin, that is justification, which happens instantly. The moment you believe and you confess your sins to God, you repent and believe and confess your sins to God, you are justified instantly. So, you have been saved, you have been justified. You have been saved from the power of sin. Sanctification. You are going through another stage in your salvation. Now you have God on your side because of your justification to help you through your walk in this world. So you are now being sanctified. Then you shall be saved from the presence of sin. You see, when you are saved from the power of sin, you are still in this world, the sin is there. But then you have the help of God to be able to overcome that sin. And then there is going to be a time when you will be saved from the power of sin, where you will be in a place where there is no sin. That is in heaven, where you will not even encounter sin again. That is the last stage of our salvation. So when you look at the helmet of salvation, I believe it is all these three aspects, but more specifically to the third one. The third one, when there will be a time when you will be in a place where there's no sin. You will never even encounter sin again. So that is, I'm sure, the one that this helmet of salvation is referring to, the hope of salvation. What is your hope of salvation? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 8, Paul speaks about the helmet of the hope of our salvation. The hope of our salvation. So we need to keep the hope of the glorious future with our Lord in view. As a Christian, you must keep that in view, where you will be in glory with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The moment you lose sight of this eternal place to be, and the moment you take your mind and don't focus on this, then Satan can do all kinds of things with our mind to discourage you. As we will see what he did to some people in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, we have a classic example of Esau in Psalm 73. Esau was a truly man of God who had served in the church for years, all his life. But the moment he went off guard, I would say the moment he took away the helmet of salvation, Satan began to attack his mind. He looked around and saw the prosperity of the wicked and became envious of them. A man who had served God all his prophesied. If you read Psalm 73, you see, he all of a sudden, he began to think about the people, the ungodly people, and how rich they were as compared to him. So he began to lose hope. And the moment he did that, it is the devil who attacked him to believe in that. But then it goes on to say, when he came to himself, you see, when he put on the helmet of salvation, then he realized that even though I am poor in this world, as compared to the ungodly people, I am better. Because I have a hope of being with God in his glory. They will also die and go and be with their father, which is Satan. The moment he realized that, then he came back to his senses. Now, another example is with let's even talk about our own Moses, where the book of Hebrews talks about. He said in verse 24, Hebrews 11, he said, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You see, we all know how the birth of Moses came and how he was brought up in the king's palace. And he almost became a descendant of King Pharaoh. But when he came of age, he said he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh. You can imagine, the king of Egypt, the most powerful king at the time, adopting him as his son, and yet he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh. Why? Because he thought of the future, where he will be, as compared to the temporary enjoyment that he will have with the king in Egypt. Then verse 23 says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. You see, he thought of what he will have in future, and that is how to protect your mind. Think of who you are, where God has placed you, and where you are going, as compared to the temporary things in this world. Satan hits you with temporary things of this world, and you also think of the future. Which one is better? I will choose the future. You need to be protected to be able to take such a decision. Otherwise, Satan will sway you away. In verse 26, he says, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. The greater riches that he has in Christ. For he has respect unto the recompense of the reward. You see, he think about what, if you read the Ephesians from verse 1 to 3, you see all the riches that we are in Christ. And then you think of the future, where we are going to be. So Moses thought about all these things and refused to be called the son of God. If you don't do that, your mind, the devil will attack your mind. They have respect unto the recompense of the world. That, and really, that is what saved him. What, that was the key, him thinking of the hope of things to come. In Psalm 42, verse 5, he said, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. And then in verse 11, he said again, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the help of my countenance and my God. So you see, the moment you take your mind of God and his promises, the devil attacks you. So that is why, that is how the helmet of salvation protects you from the attack of the enemy. A helmet is composed of a living hope, as I've already said. In Genesis chapter 49, verse 18, Jacob, even in his David, he said, I've waited for thy salvation. That was what Jacob was saying. He said, I've waited for thy salvation. And here he was referring to the happiness in heaven. Because he was in his deathbed. What salvation again? He was talking about his happiness in heaven. And when we come to the New Testament, in Luke chapter 2, verse 30, Simon said, my eyes have seen thy salvation. And here he also meant the salvation had become his property. Now he knows that he has been saved. So salvation is not his property. And that's what he's thinking about. Where he is going to enjoy the glory of God. So salvation is something that has been accomplished by Christ on the cross and applied to by the Holy Spirit. But secondly, we'll be perfect in glory, which is what we are all waiting for. So you set your mind on what has been said for you. So a living hope in our Lord and Savior. He died for us and he lives for us, and he will bring us to his home at last. So that is why we talk about the perseverance for the saints. You see, you persevere because you know where you are going. And even if you fall, you know that he will lift you up again until the time comes when he comes to take you into heaven. So, in having that hope of salvation, both faith and hope are necessary. You see, faith is like the mother and hope is like the daughter. You need the faith. And after you have been born again, you need a hope. The hope that will keep you until Christ comes. So faith builds Christ on the cross, what Christ has done for you on the cross, and then hope also about his second coming, when he comes and then take you away. The people of Israel, when they passed through the Red Sea, they were not in the promised land, even though they had come out from the Red Sea in a miraculous way, but they were still not in the promised land. They were in the wilderness, leading them to Canaan. And that is exactly what we are. And we all know how they went through hardship in the wilderness until they finally came to Canaan. The same thing with us. When you are saved, you have crossed the Red Sea, but we are not in heaven yet. We still live in this world. We go through hardship until the final day comes. But our hope is what strengthens us. But even if I'm going through hardships, I know that I have a place to go in future. So that will make you to persevere, to go through every problem. And meanwhile, there's a promise that I will never leave you nor forsake you. So you have all these promises and to keep you going. You need all these things to protect your head and your mind from the devil's attacks. Then the helmet also provides endurance unto the end. It is the helmet that provides endurance unto the end. So we have heard that the head of the believer is protected when he looks to the future with a living hope. And we have learned about Asaph, and this is the same Asaph in verse 24. He said, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. God will guide you with his counsel in this world, and then afterward he will receive you. This thought must be in your mind and control your mind so that the enemy cannot attack your mind with fake things. So the life of a believer may at times be difficult. It will be difficult because the Bible has said that. But sometimes because of false teaching, we think we should not be going through problems. Otherwise, how can a man like Esau, after all that he has seen, the devil was able to discourage him? So, friends, it is a very serious situation that we are in as Christians. Let's protect our mind against the devil's attack. What are some of the difficulties that we face as believers? Sometimes we are misunderstood, even by our own family. They will misunderstand you. People may not understand why you are spending all your time in the house of God, why your life is changed, why you don't want to go by the culture and the lifestyle of this world. People might not understand you. People might think you are. They said the same thing to Apostle Paul, that he was going mad. They said the same thing to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They will say it to you if you are following him. People might not understand you. You can lose something so dear to you because of your commitment to Christ. And you are the target of Satan. But yet, like I said earlier on, our case is not a lost case. As I said from the beginning, John 16:33 says, in this world you shall have tribulation. Tribulation means pressure, difficulties, hardships. You will have them, but then be of good cheer, for I have overcome them the world. So like I said, we are fighting a battle that has been won already on the cross of Calvary and are awaiting the glory. If you have this in your mind and your hope is strong that this is what you are waiting for, it will be almost impossible for Satan to attack you, to attack the brain with false teachings and discouragement and all those attacks. It will never work. Let me leave you with a verse in Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. Says, after speaking so much, then he says that the God of hope, or see, now the God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. You see, if you are abound in hope, there's so much of your mind in the hope of glory, Satan has no place in your mind. The moment you take your mind off the hope. Well, I heard many people saying, oh Christ, since how many years ago that he said he was coming? If you come, you have come. Many people say those things to discourage Christians. And there are people who have access to televisions and radio stations and people who many people look up to. So if you are not well equipped, if you are not protected, you may tend to believe them and they can easily discover. But he said, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. In believing, you have peace and joy. That it is the same God who has delivered you, as we always say in the perspective of the saints, the same God by grace saved you. It is through the same grace that will take you to the end. You will never lose his grace. He said, nobody can take you out of my hand. It is the promise of God. No one can take you. So let's always have these promises in our minds, and our hopes will be alive, and the devil can never attack our minds. He said, now the God of hope fill you with all joy. So that is the fruit of the hope. The fruit of the hope is joy and peace. Peace of mind, peace of heart in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, you can do all these things by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God, who has become part of you because of your justification, through your sanctification, you are with the Holy Spirit, who protects you and guides you and directs you. So you will be able to have this hope and joy and peace in your heart. That is why I say that the greatest joy is the joy of knowing that you are for God. Not the joy that we talk about in this world. There's nothing like that in this world. There's no joy. There's no peace. The only peace we have is with God. And his promise that he'll come and take us to his glory. So if you are hoping in that, it will be very, very difficult for the enemy of our souls to get you. And I'm sure this should be able to encourage us, to encourage all of us to endure to the end, knowing that we will never suffer in vain because of what he has promised, that he will be with us, he will guide us, he will protect us, and we will never fall. This is the way to fight Satan. This is the way to fight demons. This is the way to fight the wizards and witchcraft, as people are talking about. This is the way to fight the spiritual battle. There's no other way. There's nothing you can do to fight Satan. You don't even know Satan. You don't know the way he fights. So those people who are giving so many promises to do this and do that, they are all lying and taking money from the people. The truth is what is in the Bible. Fight the battle with the armor of God. With all the armor. And today we have talked about the helmet of salvation. Have you been saved? Are you born again? let that be your hope. Because once you are born again and you are in Christ, he said no one can take you out of his hand. And he has promised to come again and take you to where he is, to be in glory. If you have this hope, what else in this world can discourage you? Or what can bring confusion into your mind? This is how you can protect your mind from the enemy of our souls. And my prayer is that the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, will put this in our hearts, as he has said, that the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Friends, this should encourage us to fight to the end, knowing that the Lord who has promised us is faithful and he will never fail us.